There we go. Wonderful, wonderful. Welcome, everyone. My name's Andy Marks. Some of you heard my name already. Joined here by my co-host Jess Gloomer. You want to say hey?
Hey, y'all.
And I know many of you just said where you're calling from. So I'm here in Hoboken, New Jersey, not too far from New York City area. Jess, I believe you're in Denver. Is that right?
Yes, in Denver, Colorado.
Wonderful. We're all home tonight. So welcome everyone to LHON Live. Many of you, at least a couple of you, I think, are on your first LHON Live call. Some of you are on well past triple digits at this point. For those who don't know the background, Jess and I had the pleasure of meeting back in June of 2014, which was for both of us our first LHON conference. Many of you have been into a number of LHON conferences since then. And after realizing how beneficial it was to kind of tap into and kind of converse with and fellowship with other folks going through an LHON life, we realized how exciting that was and how this unique experience that we all have is shared in a way that makes it less unique in a way that fosters community really wonderfully. So we wanted to find a way to tap into that benefit throughout the year. And so a couple months later in August, early August of 2014, we had our first LHON live call. And we've been doing these every month since. So you are here for what is our 111th LHON live call ever. Congratulations, everyone. That's really exciting for me. We've been doing this a long time and really appreciate everyone who's here and new, and also those folks who are here for most of those calls. I think a lot of you've been here for a lot of those calls. So thanks for being here. Our call formats have been through a number of formats over the years. Sometimes we have guest speakers. Last month we had a guest speaker, actually. Some months, like we will tonight, we'll kind of talk about some topics that are on our minds. But I also want to remind you all that you can always send topics to either of us. My name is Andy Marks or Jessica Loomer. You can email us, find us on Facebook. And we are happy to talk about topics you want us to. Or if there are topics you want to bring up tonight, you're welcome to do that as well. The only thing we do ask, or at least remind folks, is neither Jessica nor myself, nor frankly anyone on this call, is really an expert in legal advice, employment advice, medical advice. So if topics come up or questions come up that we think are better suited to be directed to an expert, we may ask you allow us to do that. And we talk about other things because we don't want anyone getting bad advice here or getting to a topic that we think is relatively sensitive. But with that, we really want these calls to be whatever is most beneficial to you or whatever you're feeling tonight. With that, Jess, the spiel out of the way, how are you? How's October going for you?
I, first of all, cannot believe it's October. I was talking about October as if we weren't in it at one point earlier today. And I was like, yeah, in October, we're going to do this. And someone stopped me and was like, you know, it's the third, wait, it's the fourth, third, fourth. And I
Ten
was like,
four.
nope, I had no idea. 10-4. I was like, yeah, it just, yeah, passed me right by. But excited to be welcoming some much better weather. And yeah, looking for, I feel like holidays are right around the corner, which blows my mind. But other than that, but how are you?
I'm pretty good. Holidays being around the corner is okay. Time is passing, and that's a good thing. I'm happy to have a little cooler weather. It got too cold there for a bit in September and then warmed back up very quickly over the weekend, and we've had nice days to be able to enjoy some evening walks here. So I'm happy about that. Looking forward to some okay holiday periods. Unfortunately for me, I used most of my vacation the first half of the year. And so the second half of this year will be a little less vacation filled, but that's okay. And I'm just enjoying the fall, which is one of my favorite seasons here, especially where I live these days.
Oh, that's perfect. Yeah, I'm waiting for the leaves on the or colors of the leaves to change. It's actually kind of funny. I think I can kind of tell when the leaves are changing colors. I struggle with like red green color blindness sort of thing, and so I'm just like waiting because I know it's going to be a pop of orange that I won't be able to miss. So, but and I did see my neighbor's putting Christmas lights out. They're not on, but they are just putting them out and putting them on the trees, which I was like, that's genius because it's beautiful outside and you're just going to wait to turn them on until it's like what socially acceptable. So I'm like, props to you, dude, next
Yeah,
door neighbor, because that's
I was
so
gonna
smart.
say, October is not socially acceptable to turn those on, but I will leave it up to you to whether you think it's appropriate to be putting them on, but good for them if you allow it.
No, well, they're just prepping. That's all. They're prepared.
I'm excited for some leaves to change as well. I'm headed up to Boston in a couple weeks to just visit some friends, and I'm hoping by then that part of the coast will start changing leaves a little bit sometime in October. So we should be in the thick of it by then and ready to start enjoying some fall things, which feels very New England in a way. I used to go up there for the head of the Charles many years in a row. I'm sure some folks here know what that is. It's a big rowing event that I don't know that I ever watched much of the rowing, but it's a good time to be around the New England area and see folks and enjoy some brisk outdoor weather, like you will certainly have at some point in time there in Denver. With that, we can go ahead and kind of get into it, though. I know one thing we want to talk about, which in 10, 9 years of doing these calls, 9 years and change of doing these calls, I don't know that we've ever spoken about this, Jessica. And I don't know how big of a
Really?
thing it's been historically. I knew it when you said it to me earlier this week because I'm gearing up for several events around the occasion at Audible this year as I lead our Disability Inclusion Impact Group. But we want to talk about Disability Employment Awareness Month, which is I'm not sure where it is, and I'm putting this word in quotes here, celebrated or kind of honored. As a month that we focus on, I think in a corporate setting is probably where people focus on it the most. And I'm excited that many companies are starting to cast more of a light on representation of folks with disabilities within their workforces. I think a lot of folks and a lot of companies have a long way to go, but I'm happy to kind of cheerlead them on as they work toward this. When, Jess, did you first hear about Disability Employment Awareness Month, and what do you know about events that are planned around it?
Yeah, first of all, you prepped this conversation so well. I was like, quick shout out on that. I was like, dang, that was so good. I would say I heard about it a couple years ago. One of the organizations, I talk about it pretty often, Blind Institute of Technology, it's here in Colorado. I would say their mission is definitely evolving and has changed throughout the years, but obviously like their main goal and mission is to help people with disabilities find gainful employment. And so a couple years ago, they actually featured a person with a disability every single day on their LinkedIn profile, which I was like, that's a lot of people. And being able to showcase like their story, what they're about, where they are and where they hope to go and kind of goals and career aspirations. So that's kind of where I heard of it first. And obviously like knowing that you're going to be featured, you kind of hover and watch the their LinkedIn profiles and get a chance and the opportunity to read a bunch of other people's professional stories. The other place I heard of it was a podcast called Careers for the Blind. This is a really cool podcast. Have you heard of it, Amy? That one?
Sorry, I was on mute. I don't think I've heard of it. No.
No? Okay. Yeah, this one's a really cool one. I am completely blanking on his name and I want to call him Hayes, but now I think that's completely wrong. But I'm confusing it with a country song. But fantastic podcast. And I would say the jobs that he features for Careers for the Blind are like a huge range, which I think is the beauty about it. And he interviews people with disabilities, and obviously focuses on people that are blind, visually impaired. So I believe he has RP and has a very successful job and wanted to kind of interview people that are also blind, visually impaired, really to kind of give him inspiration or motivation, determination, kind of all of those like buzzwords of the really kind of showing like, hey, I'm losing vision, but like check out all these other su super successful people and like I can do it too. And you know, like rallying with various allies throughout the like various industries. So I kind of heard it in both places. And that's where like that journey for this holiday has started for me. What about you?
I'm seeing Lissa added in chat that Harrison Hoyes is the host of that
Thank
podcast.
you.
Wonderful. Well, where did I first hear about Disability Employment Awareness Month? I mean, might I have heard about it in prior years? There's a chance of that. It wasn't really on my radar until this year, I'll be honest.
Oh, okay.
There are more things these days that kind of have me focused on that, and I'm happy to kind of talk about some of those. Less a plug for me, more resources for folks out there who may be interested. I mentioned that I lead a disability inclusion impact group. Some of you may know those as being referred to as ERGs or employee resource groups where you work. Just a place for folks to kind of share a common interest and focus on a mission that we are interested in as a community. At Audible, we have some representation of people with disabilities, which I'm excited about. I think there's room for improvement. So we founded our group this year after several years of kind of doing grassroots efforts, and we are called Audible, which I'm proud of. But anyway, I will move away from that and say that there's another organization that I'm involved with that I would encourage many of you, if you're interested in conversations around employment or navigating employment with LHON, I believe that's the name of our Facebook group. There's an organization that I started partnering with earlier this year called Insight. It's as every company called Insight, spelled kind of funny. So they spell it NSITE. It's actually a sister organization or an offshoot of the NIB, National Industries for the Blind. Many of you may know that National Industries for the Blind is an organization that has agencies or affiliates all around the country that employ a bunch of blind people, principally in manufacturing, call centers, a number of organizations in a handful of fields. Insight, separate from National Industries for the Blind, is an organization that partners with other corporations, not affiliates or agencies of NIB, to help them grow representation of people who are blind in their workforce. And they also partner with individuals who are blind here in the US, principally, I think, but I believe they're looking to expand to help level up their skills. So provide certifications in things like Salesforce training and other skilled jobs, if you will, to help those individuals become more employable and increase the demand for their labor, if you will. So great organization if you're interested, maybe either looking for work or if you work for an organization and you'd like to increase the representation where you work. They're an organization that you can work with to help find other great candidates who may have low vision in some way. So I first heard about Disability Employment Awareness Month basically when through working with both those organizations I kind of work with, started looking earlier this year to say, hey, we want to kind of find different times throughout the year that are good to host events around. And what are the best dates we can rally behind? And one of those being Disability Employment Awareness Month. It's kind of interesting that it's about halfway through the year compared to Global Accessibility Awareness Month, which is kind of the other end of the spectrum from a customer perspective. Let's make our products accessible. And from a corporate perspective, let's make our culture accessible, if you will. So I love both of those initiatives. And this month, we're talking about the employee perspective. And I think anything we can do around those is great. Before I share, Jess, what types of events do you know that are hosted around Disability Employment Awareness Month? Those could be where you work or at other employers or even outside organizations.
Yeah, there's a ton of things going on. I was trying to keep tabs and kind of find. I find a lot of these events on LinkedIn, and just by following, kind of like the bigger names and like and or motivational speakers that are having these conversations. We're actually taking a different spin on it where I work at Zendesk. I also am the global leader for BRG, similar to you, and so I'm kind of taking it on a different spin of like interviewing corporate leaders, kind of talking through like what do they make sure that they're thinking about to create an inclusive environment. So whether it's procurement, real estate, like for sure software development, because obviously that's my jam. And that's like what I do every day, all day. But like let's talk about real estate and how that's a little bit differently. What do we need to think about for bus lines and walkability, transportation, and things like that to kind of create that inclusive environment. But what about procurement? And are we ensuring that we are always considering whatever tools or things that we purchase also kind of have the same values as we do, whether it's always that they're like digitally accessible, or, you know, there's kind of various other kind of facets within accessibility to think about. So yeah, completely different spin. It's been pretty fun. I'll be hosting a panel, and so it'll be fun later this month. The other kind of biggies that I always look for, the company, I mean, obviously I always kind of follow Microsoft. I have mad respect for their accessibility team and Jenny McClory, and kind of what she stands for. So always kind of follow them. Obviously, Disability Inn is a big one, and constantly has sessions and seminars and workshops that I was kind of focusing on. So those are kind of the two big ones that I've been watching, and a lot of blogs. The other person I've been watching lately and kind of talking about inclusive designs and things like that is Carl Groves. Just a really knowledgeable, high expertise accessibility, I would say, engineer within the industry. And so yeah, those are like, I think I've taken the nerdy approach is what I'm saying.
No, I'm super impressed with how plugged in you are. You are intimidating in a sense that, like, I don't feel nearly as up to speed. I am reminding myself that you work in accessibility, and I do not.
I do.
That's allowed. But yeah, Disability Inn, great resource there. Many of you, I mean, if you work for an organization that doesn't partner with Disability Inn, I feel like you're in the minority these days, because their list of partner organizations and corporations is massive. I was speaking with people over Disability Inn today, actually, on a related topic for an event that I'm planning. So they have great resources for you. If it's difficult for you as an employer of an organization to raise your own voice to say the way that people should either treat you or others with a disability, sometimes it's great to point people toward a resource that is considered kind of expert or gold standard or the consensus on specific topics. That way you don't have to tell someone the way to do things. It's this organization and their resources telling people how to do that. So sometimes that's helpful from a disability in perspective. They are an organization to promote inclusion, which is the N stands for the beginning of several words, one of them being inclusion, I believe. And so they have resources for employees and employers, really, that may be focused on promoting inclusion. I know internally we're hosting a number of events, everything from panel discussions to a hackathon, which is not going to happen this month, but happening later, to events around facilities management and how can we make our facilities more accessible, and candidate best practices and interviews and ways to navigate conversations around disability in the office, the right language to use, the way to have those conversations in a way that's most beneficial to everyone and invites vulnerability from a able-bodied perspective, I guess, but also is comfortable for all. So all of those things are things that I think you can hear conversations around this month, and encourage you all to seek that out if it's something that's interesting to you.
I love that you brought up the language part. Sorry, I was going to quick side note. That's a session I feel like is being talked about a ton lately. And I did a presentation earlier today, and someone asked me, because I was like, safe space, ask me anything. And they're like, what is the difference between blind, low vision, and visually impaired? And I said, it's personal, in the sense of like, it's a different definition to a lot of people, unless we're talking medical. And I kind of shared like the different uses I have, use cases. I use each word interchangeably because that's what's best for me. And so I'm like, it's okay to ask. It's okay to ask, if that's in context of like what's needed. But other than that, like, I mean, just be respectful of like the various contexts of whatever they use, and just ask how you can best support. And so they're like, okay, cool. But like, it is to them, like that was, I mean, maybe I was the first blind person they ever met. Maybe, I don't know. And when I like use them interchangeably and then like talked about it, it was a really interesting like topic. So that's cool that you guys are talking about it.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think no one here needs to hear this, but the advice I give most people who at any point are interested in learning more is just be open to having the conversation, invite the conversation, do it in a way that's comfortable, usually more private. Like, no reason for people to ask crazy questions in a room of 40 people where you're not even the one talking. But generally, most people I know who classify themselves or identify publicly as a blind individual are comfortable having these conversations and also recognize the value in everyone being educated. That's why, like, I welcome this conversation as often as I can have it. To your point, language around how we identify is important, but also language around what is or isn't okay with some individuals. I mean, I often tell people that, like, I'm harder to offend than some people, but there are still some things I would discourage folks from doing. I'd never mind anyone saying things like, "See you later. Did you see that movie?" And while I don't mind any of those phrases, I know some people actually who are bothered by that. I think they're actually in the minority.
Totally.
But you should be okay. And it's very, I compare it often to getting pronouns right these days, that, like, we all understand that, like, you may get it right, you may get it wrong. Let's also try and be better and try and be good and try and be inclusive people and have respect and empathy for others. And that's what we're doing in this space. So be also willing to move on, and we don't have to apologize too much about any of those types of things. The one area that I often find people that I do am willing to call someone out after the fact privately again is when people use the word blind a little inappropriately. I mean, I'm happy to tell people that, hey, you can use the word blind to mean not being able to see something. In that case, totally fine. If you're using the word blind in a place where the word uninformed or ignorant would be synonymous with your use, I encourage you to use one of those other two words where you can. So otherwise, like, I mean, just because I think that's good practice for us not to use the word blind as to mean something that is belittling or demeaning in any way. But otherwise, I think, I mean, the topic of language is interesting in general. So I'm happy to have those conversations as much as I can.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm happy to kind of, I know we're on the early side here, Jess, but we're approaching 8:30. Would you like to start kind of opening the conversations up? Are there other things you want to ask here before we start getting opinions?
No, I think it's great. I mean, this is one of my absolute favorite topics, which is obviously why I was lucky enough to have the opportunity to participate on the employment panel during conference. So yeah, I love chatting about it. I love talking about it. Like, let's be more open about it to kind of make, and whatever we can do to make more opportunities for other people. So, or people to share their experiences too. Like, I 100% promise you, like, I won't go into, like, all, like, the various stories because y'all have probably heard them, but it's not always great. You know, like, the career journey, I would say, is it's tough, especially being with having LH1. So yeah. I'm in a great spot right now, and Annie's in a great spot, but, like, it's not always been like that. So I think it's also important to respect that it's a journey, and that there's going to be ups and downs. And so thankful for where I am, but yeah, don't forget where you came from, sort of thing. In the sense of, like, yeah.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. I will let everyone know now that if you have any questions or comments or things you'd like to add to this conversation around things around this month, events around Disability Employment Awareness Month that you'd like to share with the group, feel free to do that. I will remind everyone as you start to do that, the recording or this call is still being recorded right now. But once we get closer to the end of the hour, we will make sure to reserve time to turn the recording off after we remind everyone of upcoming dates for other future calls. So if you have questions you'd rather not be recorded, feel free to hold those for that point in time as well. We'll make sure you have a chance to ask those after the recording's turned off. All right, great job, Jess. I'll go ahead and hang up, and thanks so much, everyone. I'm just kidding.
I was like, is this the time I tell a story how I just walked into a glass wall last weekend or last week? No. at the office? No, okay.
Of course. I walked into, back when I was at Disney, I walked into the wrong restroom and spent far too long in there before I left. And then I wanted to quit immediately, but I did. I think I spent another few months in that job before I left.
That's good.
All good.
Can I ask? Anyone...
Yeah, I was going to ask if
Please.
anyone else on the call knew of any events this month, but who was that question coming from?
I'm not asking about the events. I'm actually new, and I'm wondering if you guys use canes.
Oh, wonderful. Sure, great question.
That's a great. Do you mind telling us who's asking the question?
Oh, this is Jenny from Minnesota.
Jenny, wonderful question. Jess, I'll let you go first.
Yes. Yes. Most of the time, I would say. So I have a couple. I probably have like 4 canes in my apartment at this point. I would say I use it quite a bit. Like I actually walked to the grocery store today and used it, and it's only a half mile, and I knew the area super well. We can't hear you, just letting you know. But then also, especially to navigate new areas, crossing streets, kind of big things like that. I would say the times I don't use a cane is probably like around my apartment complex and walking like very well-known areas. But honestly, I feel like I've been using it more lately than I have been in the past, because it's made it a lot easier for me to have the conversations of like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, I did not see you. And maybe they were just kind of like, they got close to me a little too late. So I didn't want to give the perception of me being rude. I wanted them to kind of have the awareness that I didn't have great vision. So I use it pretty often. Definitely took it into the office this past week. But it was actually interesting. I used it probably the first like 30 minutes in the office, kind of got the lay of the land, and then like left my cane in like a cubicle. And then I like was able to like walk to the bathroom back and forth. And then someone's like, can't you, like, how does that? And I was like, oh, I like, now that I feel comfortable in here, I'm totally fine. I would say change it up.
Can I ask?
Jess, I have
long?
One question. Yeah, go ahead, Jenny.
How long have you had LHON?
10 years.
Okay, thank you.
I would say it was a process. I wouldn't say I like got affected and like 1 month later I was using a cane. I would definitely say I got O&M, hated O&M, got O&M again, and then finally accepted O&M. So.
So, for those who don't know, O&M standing for orientation and mobility training. This case, Jess, I have one follow-up question that I want to give my answer to the same question here. You went into an office. I thought you were fully remote. Can you provide more clarity?
I am, but I was actually in San Francisco, so I was in the office to like have some FaceTime with my boss and kind of meet more of the team members. And so they have a lot of glass walls. And so, I felt like I needed to like break out the cane a little bit more than probably normal.
For those who are curious, I mean, Audible has tons of glass walls as well. All of our conference rooms have glass doors. And I'm constantly reminding people that you should leave doors open. So those rooms don't get really cold or hot. But you should leave them open inwards, not outwards. That's just a good accessibility tip for folks in their offices. But Jenny, to answer your question, I, like Jess, have lost my vision 10 years ago. I actually had my first appointment September of 2013. That's right. So it's just over a year ago, but my second eye wasn't affected at this point in time 10 years ago. And I started using cane pretty quickly. I would say it's not always for the functionality of using it. Jessica kind of alluded to this, but sometimes it's principally for identification. There are what are called ID canes, which don't have a tip on the end necessarily. I use a normal white cane, but a lot of the time it is, frankly, for other individuals around me to recognize I have low vision or that I'm legally blind or blind. I live in the New York City area, so there are often people around. And if you need assistance or want to ask what a street sign says, anything like that, people are far more inclined to assist you, or at least assist in a very excited way, very willing to assist when you have that cane. That said, the process of being comfortable using a cane, as Jessica said, is different for everyone. For some folks, it takes longer to kind of be comfortable because that is a public display of having disability. And I don't want to say that happens immediately for everyone. There are different people here who have different answers to this question. While Jess and I have pretty similar ones, there are several folks on this call who have never used a cane. Maybe there are some folks who have a cane and they sit folded up in their drawer all year round. And there's some folks here who have guide dogs that they don't leave home without constantly. So you'll get a variety of questions here, but some of that's due to different comfort levels or different just acceptances of what they want to use. And sometimes it's due to differences in actual vision or visual acuity in this case. So variety of answers, but I figured I'd give you mine too.
Thank you.
Thanks for asking the question.
What was that class called that you said?
It's the letter O and then and the letter M. So it stands for orientation and mobility. Quite often, if you're going to your local Division for Blind Services or any state-funded training for someone who has lost vision recently, they will offer what is called O&M training. They may also offer what is sometimes called ILS or independent living skills, along with a number of different courses you can take to acclimate to your new vision.
Thank you.
Of course. Thank you, Jenny. I think, what did you say? Your name was Jenny, right?
Yeah. And I've been I've had LHON for 7 years.
Okay.
I still have questions.
Of course.
I'd
say we all do. If it was just Jess and I on the phone right now, we'd be asking each other questions. So no worries there.
It's true.
Thank you.
And of Jenny, course. It's Maria. And we'll be talking tomorrow. So bring your questions.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Hey guys, it's Megan.
Hey Megan.
Hey.
Hey Megan.
So many things here. So I just attended one of my husband, who is a partner for a larger consulting firm's partners events, where they invited spouses and they were talking about their DE&I initiatives. And I am working to, you know, build my own DE&I practice within my own company. But so in terms of terminology, you know, they jumped into the conversation and said, you know, we have a blind spot for DE&I. And everybody at my table or around me, you know, saw my white cane and they're like, oh, shoot, those were the wrong words. And this was a room of probably 500 to 600 people. So I couldn't be the girl with the white cane who walked out in that moment. But it was one of those situations that were just really interesting. And I think it I had a moment of awareness for a lot of people around me, which was very, very, very uncomfortable for me for the whole week. But I was proud to be that person that showed that awareness. And in terms of cane usage, there was a lot of awareness around that as well. I mean, a lot of people came up to me and said, oh my gosh, where did you hike this week? Or where did you hike this morning with your walking stick? And I was like, oh, no, I'm visually impaired. Like, I can't really, you know, see a lot of things. So this is my indicator to you. And it was just so interesting because this was with a consulting firm that consults with so many pillars of different industries, including healthcare, retail, aviation, so many different areas. And these executives don't even know what a white cane is. So it was, you know, I my husband could tell when I could not answer a question because I was like, oh, shoot, like this guy is really saying what are you doing? And it was a lot of awareness to people in industries that should know what is going on. So a lot there. And when I do finally be able to, you know, start my ARG within my company with disability, because they have, you know, a lot of other ones, I'm going to reach out to you guys and figure out how to, you know, have those initial conversations. So I could probably talk for, 12 to 15 minutes about my travel experiences and hotel experiences within the last couple of weeks, but a lot there within cane use and also just DE&I stuff. So
I love all of that, Megan. I appreciate you sharing that. One, you're proud of yourself. I think a lot of people here, I'll speak for us and say, we're proud of you too. But at the same time, I think the visibility that you give to folks like those executives, because I don't mean to excuse their behavior, but a lot of these folks, frankly, Jessica said, she mentioned that in her case, she was the first blind person someone met. And a lot of these people have poor visibility to this. And that's why I think sometimes I try and use my cane, whether it's needed or not, just for folks to see someone out there using a cane. I love it. And I know some people would be bothered by this. I love it when I walk down a street and I hear a parent say to a child, kind of explain what my cane means. It just makes me feel like I love that exposure for children to have at an early age, as opposed to, in your case, these executives who I have to imagine are no longer children and are hearing for the first time what your white cane means. But regardless, at whatever age they're learning, I'm here to celebrate people learning about it.
Well, and it's more of, so it's a learning for all of us too, because it's, I would be using it because it would be more of an identifier, but then I would be using it and I'd say, oh shoot, I actually really, really, really need my cane right now. Like,
right.
So it's those moments that are like, whoa, to all of us. Right. So,
right.
Yeah.
Oh, totally. Megan, I have to also say that, like, also props to you, because being in a room with a bunch of various consultants and various levels, like, you must have created a safe enough space where people felt like they could ask whatever was on their mind. I feel like that's a truly a special person to create that space where they do feel comfortable to ask, because most of the time they could have just sat there and like stared at you awkwardly and it would have been super weird. But like, you must have created this space where people were asking those, like, what we thought were crazy questions that allowed them to ask and learn. And I mean, the more you ask, the more you can learn, but so props to you on creating that safe space.
Thanks, love guys. It. And I learned that from all of you. So
absolutely.
Way to go, Megan. Any other Megan. Questions or comments from folks on this topic or any other topic, frankly?
Okay, I have more.
Go for it, Jenny. I appreciate the questions.
I feel like I make people feel uncomfortable when they find out I have low vision. How do I make them feel safe to ask questions? Because I feel like I make people feel uncomfortable, and then they just want to talk to my husband and not me.
Yeah, no, I hear that. I'll take a stab at this one, and then I'd love to hear other folks' responses here as well. First, Jenny, I'd say that maybe you aren't making them feel uncomfortable. You might be. There's a chance you are.
Because I'm very outgoing.
Yeah, there's a chance that you're assuming or putting that discomfort on them when that may not be real. I've thought the same thing in the past. I've thought someone was uncomfortable or was somehow feeling discomfort around hearing or learning about my disability for the first time, when in reality, they were maybe confused. They were maybe unsure of what to do, but not necessarily uncomfortable. That said, there is a real chance that some of them are uncomfortable. And I'd tell you a couple of things here. One, it's not your problem to solve for that necessarily, but ways that I've seen that help with that are somehow volunteering answers to some frequently asked questions you may think they have. So sometimes I may disclose that I have low vision, that I'm blind, that I'm, especially after someone's done something that maybe has caused them to put their foot in their mouth. So I've been in meetings before where I was in a meeting where our CFO saw me with my face very close to a computer and said, "Hey, Andy, I don't think that's very good for your eyes being there so close." And then everyone in the room who knew my vision was very uncomfortable. And I basically explained to this person, "Well, actually, my vision's not very great. I'm legally blind. I've blah, blah, blah." I explained my situation. And then they would be very uncomfortable if I left it right there. But sometimes offering another layer of, you shouldn't feel bad, and here are some common answers to questions that you may have. And not that I want to derail this whole conversation to be about me, but somehow opening up the conversation to make them feel comfortable to ask maybe a question they have by answering a question that you might anticipate sometimes allows for more dialogue there. I'd also say one way to make them feel a little less uncomfortable, a little more comfortable, is to have these conversations in a private way. So maybe they feel less called out in public. I'm not saying you're doing this, but these are things that I've seen work for me in the past. So Jess or others, thoughts on how to deal with this?
Love it. I totally agree. I would actually say, and I did this also today in a presentation, I kind of make a joke out of it. Not that I'm joking that like it's cool to be blind, but I make a joke like, hey, I'm like, and I say, I'm very direct about it. Like, hey, safe space here. Please ask me any questions. I'm super open to it. So it kind of opens the door for them that they're like, oh, okay, cool. And I always go, and yes, I brushed my own hair today. Like, I know it looks good. And like, so I'll kind of do that. I did get the question once in an interview, like, who brushed your hair? So I kind of, it's kind of like slightly a little snarky on my side, but no one knows that. So I do try to create that, like, it's a funny joke, like, yeah, my hair looks good, like, what up sort of thing. But also, like, I'm opening the door for them that, like, hey, please, like, that's how we'll learn together. And I'm pretty, I say that, I would say that conversation to literally probably anyone, whether I'm in the workplace or I'm meeting a like brand new set of friends. So I say that pretty commonly, and that's what's really helped me kind of open that door. But
thank you.
Yeah, for sure.
Hey, it's Maria. I'll pipe in hey, real Mark. Quick. Hi. Going blind is scary to people. I think it's the top, like, second scariest thing that people are afraid of happening to them, besides losing, you know, going, having dementia or Alzheimer's, is going blind. People are afraid of that. And of course, that's going to make them uncomfortable, because it's a scary concept to think that it's happened to a friend, family member. And oh my gosh, could it happen to them? Because of course, none of us ever expected this to happen to us. And so you're in that situation where they're looking at you and they don't want to think that that could ever happen to them. And I think that that scariness of blindness, because you just, they have concepts of what blind is and what it looks like, you know, they just can't ever imagine, you know, what that would be like. And that's some of the uncomfortableness that I think they feel. And like Jessica was saying, as she uses humor, I do too, but also it's just really letting you shine through your blindness, if you will. Just being who you are, and you just happen to be blind now. And it takes a while for your friends to go, you know what? She's still who she was. She's yeah. blind, but it's okay. It's oh, okay. She's doing okay. But it people, and I still, my partner will tell me, like, there's certain friends, friends of mine who still just stare at me. Like, just stare. They don't talk to me. They just stare at me kind of from afar, because I think they're just so confused at, I'm just acting normal. I don't look blind, as we all don't look blind, but they're, yeah. I think what Andy said, they're confused. So they don't know really what to do with me. So they just sit and stare, which makes them creepy. But, you know, I go, well, whatever. I'm just going to keep being me. And I think the more you're you, and the more you're good, like you said, you're outgoing, the more people will start to be comfortable. Like, she's doing great. She's doing fine. She asks for help when she needs it. They're not on guard thinking they're going to have to help you with everything, because that's blind people need help with everything. You know, they need to find what's going to work for them in your friendship together. And I know it's been 7 years, so that's kind of a long time, but you know, even with new people, you know, I still meet new people all the time, and they still look at me when I say, well, I'm legally blind. They're kind of like, huh? You know, cane or no cane, that kind of thing. They still just, they're just mesmerized. Like, but how are you even standing and talking? You know, like, you're blind. And again, it's people's perception of blindness is not what it really is. And you don't really know that until you're actually brought into this world and you realize it's a spectrum. And most people don't know that. So, you know, my friends, they just don't understand even what I see. So that's, again, confusing, uncomfortable. So it really is, like Andy said, it is that person. It is up to them to start being comfortable with it. And it isn't your problem to solve. You can just do what you can with it. Just live your best life. It's just a different life, but you can just still live your best life.
There are two things you said there, Maria, that I want to underscore and kind of highlight here. The first one is the first thing you said there, which is sometimes people are scared because they're thinking about it from a very selfish personal perspective, in which case you have no control over whether they're comfortable or not. So that's not on any of us. The second thing you said kind of there at the end is about time, which is in the same way that it takes all of us some time to get comfortable with being blind. None of us were comfortable the second a doctor told us we were going to not be able to see. And sometimes I want to be fair to other people. The first time I tell them, it's the last thing they expected to hear in that conversation. I don't expect them to immediately just be the exact same way that my wife is when we talk about my vision. It's not going to be like that. It's going to be a little different, but like time does lead to most folks becoming pretty comfortable talking about this, feeling comfortable with it being a topic of conversation, and yet moving on. So both of those things are, I think, are important to highlight. I love the questions though, Jenny.
Thank you. I mean, I'll have my tank top inside out and someone will tell me and I said, oh, I'm just advertising the company.
That's I'm just perfect. Trying to
be, I'm just trying to be funny. Yeah. Thank you.
Of course. We are headed toward the top of the hour. Are there any final questions that folks want to make sure are included as part of the recording? In a few minutes, we will remind everyone of upcoming events and turn the recording off. Okay, Jess, if you aren't doing it already, I think now is a great time to start getting your email up. I do want to start, we'll start wrapping up this portion of the call, but as I said earlier on, we will allow folks to kind of hang around. If there are questions you'd like to make sure to ask once the recording stops, or if you even just want to introduce yourself and tell us where you're calling from and didn't have a chance to do that early on in the call, we'd love for you to be able to do that. Next month, we will be hosting our 112th LHON live call, I believe. Someone can fact check me there later. We started June 2014. And it will be actually, if I'm not mistaken, one, two, three. Yes, November 1st. So the very first day of November, we will have our November LHON live call. They are always through this exact same Zoom link or phone number that you use tonight, the exact same time, 8 p.m. Eastern here in the U.S., 5 p.m. Pacific, the first Wednesday of every month, which will be November 1st, 11/1/2023. Between now and then, we will have a number of other LHON calls. This is LHON Live. This is the first one we began back in 2014, but we have a number of affinity groups now, is what I call them, for different regions or different particular areas of interest. And Jess, if you have it up, I'll let you kind of talk through the groups and the calls that we have between now and November 1st.
Perfect. Totally ready. Thank you so much, Andy, for the prep. Let's go back in time for a minute. And there was a call yesterday, and it was the LHON Affected Teens call. Fantastic call. Gosh, the teens talk about it. It's an absolute blast. So if you have a teen or are a teen, definitely jump in and join that call. It's very well worth it. And then kind of cruising right along. Next call after that is the LHON Affected Young Adults. So check out the email for like the age range between teens and young adults. And so you can get that breakdown. But that one is Tuesday, October 10th at 5 p.m. Pacific.
Jessica, I don't think we put the age break in the email, but the general concept is the teens kind of go up to high school. And then when someone has graduated from high school, that's kind of when they move into young adults. And then young adults, when the group was created, the general thought was from, you know, end of high school up to maybe 25. But then there have been people that are 26, 27, 28, 29 that kind of want to squeeze in. And of course, they're allowed to. So that's kind of generally how it is. So since it's a little smushy, it's not really in the email.
Basically, perfect. If you're younger than us, Jess, you can still be a young adult, which is very painful.
Right? We're getting older. Like, I was like, thanks for the segue. The next call is LHON Onset at 60 plus. And that is on Wednesday, October 11th. And that's at 5 p.m. Pacific. It's a really cool call. I highly recommend. This call is only twice a year. So please make sure if that is you, we would love to have you. Next call after that is Dads of LHON Affected Kids. And I say this every time, but I can't help it. Kids is in air quotes. You're always a kid, my mom said. So this is for the dads of affected kids. And that is on October 18th at 5 p.m. Pacific. Next call is LHON Sisterhood. And that is on Thursday, October 19th at 5 p.m. Pacific. Next call after that is...
And just to clarify, in case anyone doesn't know, the sisterhood is for any woman who carries an LHON mutation, whether she's affected or unaffected. And it's not required to have genetic
confirmation that you carry the mutation if you're an obligate carrier. In other words, if you're on the maternal bloodline and likely carry it, you're more than welcome to join that because the issues are the same. Just wanted to clarify that.
Yes, thank you so much. And then last call of the month is the LH01 assistive technology call. And that one is on Monday, October 23rd, and that's at 5 p.m. Pacific. And that is actually going to be, I would say, special edition. That is actually hosted by myself and the one and only Jessica Knight, who is also hosts the Southeast call. So please join us. So that is so that is the last call that wraps up the month. But really looking forward to a lot of great calls and sessions for October. So please join us. And for reference, it is the exact same call-in. So if you are here, you can definitely jump into these other calls. It's the same call-in and the same Zoom link for everything.
With that, I'll get the recording turned off. But before I do that, I just want to say thanks to anyone who happens to be listening to the recording after the fact. Appreciate you being here. If you ever want to send us topics, my name's Andy Marks. Her name is Jessica Loomer. Or you can email us at lhonlive@gmail.com. We occasionally check that.
All right. Thanks, all.
Let me get the recording turned off and we will continue the conversation.